This is Cry Justice with Judy Redlick, examining issues of importance to you, your family, and our community that the other media just won't cover. Now, here's Judy Redlick.
How vulnerable are your children, and how uncaring is cyberspace? Do you need to be afraid of your children clicking on when you're not home? Let's ask the president of Morality in Media, Dr. Robert Peters, that question on this edition of Cry Justice. Welcome, Dr. Peters.
Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Peters, how widespread is pornography on the internet?
Well, I don't think anybody has an exact number, but I've been told by law enforcement that there are close to 400,000 sites on the internet that peddle hardcore pornography. And it's safe to say that most of the commercial pornography, the vast majority of it, is hardcore.
400,000 sites. How many sites are there total on the internet? What percentage is 400,000 sites?
Certainly there are millions of sites. And I hasten to add that the number is, in one sense, more scary than it really is, because a lot of these sites are controlled directly or indirectly by a relatively small number of people. I mean, if you have the capacity to create websites, you do it in seconds, and a lot of the pornographers, in order to expand what in effect is a spider's web, you know, they create website after website after website after website in order to draw people into that web.
So you click on one, and then you get the whole host of others if you keep clicking on the links.
Well, particularly when you get into pornography addiction, the addict is always looking for something new. So the shrewd pornographer doesn't just have one site where you'll go to all things. The shrewd pornographer is going to create different websites for different types of sexual interests, and they're constantly changing. So this very large number, I mean, it certainly is a horrific thought, but, you know, I mean, one argument that's often made is that with so much pornography out there, how can you expect to fight back? Well, one of the answers to that is that a lot of this pornography is controlled by, or is the, it comes out of a relatively small number of sources.
A small number of sources?
Well, relatively small number of sources. So let's say when Attorney General John Ashcroft and our federal prosecutors begin to enforce the federal adult obscenity laws again, they don't have to go after 400,000 different individuals around the world. I mean, it's not going to be an easy task, but if they, in some cases, if they close down the largest 20 to 30 sources of pornography on the internet, they will make more than a huge dent in this problem. And it'll also send a message to the rest of the people that it's no longer a safe business to be in hardcore pornography on the internet. That's a message we're looking forward to be the Attorney General John Ashcroft, and we hope every United States attorney in the country, is going to be sending to the pornography industry over the next few to several years.
Now, Dr. Peters, as we've seen the sites increase, has there been some real move to stop the pornographers, or is it going to be the same type of thing that we're going through in our nation with adult bookstores?
Basically, we've got, 10 years now, the full 8 years of President Clinton and Attorney General Janet Reno, there was virtually no enforcement of federal obscenity laws against any type of pornography, certainly pornography on the internet. And now we've been 2 years into President Bush's term with Attorney General Ashcroft at the head of the Justice Department. And I mean, admittedly, we still haven't had any prosecutions of obscenity, but we honestly, sincerely, fully expect that to change within the next year, that Attorney General Ashcroft has made it clear repeatedly that he considers enforcement of federal obscenity laws a priority. And President Bush stated during the election that he felt this was important. So certainly within the next 6 months, we expect the federal government to resume enforcement of federal obscenity laws. And our hope and expectation is that the pornography business is no longer going to be a safe business. And when people realize that they can either go to jail or lose everything they own or both, a lot of these people are going to decide to make a living somewhere, some way else.
Dr. Peters, as I look at the television media and the radio media and how it seems the FCC hasn't been enforcing obscenity laws in that effect, I have even written to the Attorney General and the Director of the FCC, et cetera, concerning this that I've seen. Where do you think we stand on that?
Particularly with the Federal Communications Commission, their primary jurisdiction is in enforcement of the broadcast indecency law. Now, that would encompass the world of radio and broadcast television, all of the major networks. But at this point, there is no indecency law that applies to cable television.
Does that mean they can show anything they want on cable and satellite?
Well, anything short of obscenity. And once again, you know, because the federal government stopped enforcing federal obscenity laws
right.
back in 1993, what we have now are virtually every cable system, not everyone. There are still some small cable operators around the country, but all of the major cable companies now provide what are called pay-per-view hardcore pornography on their cable systems. And it's certainly on satellite. There isn't any hardcore pornography yet on broadcast television.
And maybe, Dr. Peters, we could define what is hardcore pornography. Has the definition changed?
Well, it's changed. It changed a number of times over the last century, but the definition that we have today for obscene material, which is the legal term, was enunciated by our United States Supreme Court in 1973, and that definition has remained the same. And then just briefly, the obscenity test, in order for sexual material to be obscene and unprotected by the First Amendment, it has to appeal to the prurient interest, it has to depict hardcore sexual conduct in a patently offensive way, and it has to lack serious artistic, political, scientific and literary value. And I sometimes say that, you know, typical hardcore pornography, for example, a magazine or a video or a website, it consists of little, if anything, more than one depiction after the other of hardcore sex. If there is a plot, it's for the most part a sham or only a sideshow. The main act is the sex, and it's all hardcore and explicit. We're not talking about Playboy foldouts here. As much as I abhor Hugh Hefner and his Playboy magazine, the foldouts are nudity, not hardcore sex. But certainly on cable television with this pay-per-view porn, and most assuredly on the internet, the vast majority of the pornographic material there is hardcore. And therefore, the Supreme Court says that under federal and state laws, this material can be prohibited and not violate the First Amendment.
So, Dr. Peters, we're looking at 400,000 internet sites that any one of our kids could get a hold of one and be linked and linked and linked. What can we do?
Well, one thing we are doing at Morality and Media, this past summer, to be exact, we launched a new website that we call obscenitycrimes.org. That's obscenitycrimes.org.
And don't forget the C in obscenity.
Yeah. Well, I think if people misspell it, they'll still get to the right place. But the purpose of the website is to provide a complementary website to a website that was created by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And that website, if a person comes across child pornography or an adult out looking for a child for sexual purposes, they can go to the cybertipline.com website, report that information, and the National Center will look into it, pass it on to law enforcement. So we figured that if a website like that could help in the fight against child exploitation, why couldn't a similar website help in the battle against so-called adult pornography? So our obscenitycrimes.website, if a person comes across sexual material on the internet that is hardcore pornography or that they think is hardcore pornography, they can come to obscenitycrimes.org, provide us with the URL or a website name, and we will pass that information on to federal prosecutors.
As far as statistically, what about people's involvement in pornography? Has that increased or decreased? Can you give us some statistic on that?
I think it's safe to say that there has literally been an explosion of pornography since 1970. And that was a result of the Supreme Court of the United States, some very foolish decisions that came out of Washington. It was a part, I think, of the social upheaval of the 60s, and most certainly the influence of the sexual revolution. But since 1970, there has been, the word explosion describes it. And that explosion both resulted in a great deal more pornography and also a much more explicit and perverse and violent form of pornography. It first really exploded, I think, through when cable television began to show pornography, and then the video, home video, came along. That pushed the whole pornography industry way ahead. And now we have the internet, which has the potential, I'm not exaggerating, of literally burying our culture in pornographic depictions. We don't say it's going to be an easy fight, but I sometimes make the point, our choices as a society are either we fight back against this flood of pornographic materials that is literally overwhelming our culture, or we just let it happen. I can't predict the future, but I know what will happen if we don't fight back. So I just say to every American who still knows right from wrong and knows that pornography is something that harms society, harms families, harms children, and certainly on occasion contributes to sexual crimes, that we've got to do something about this before our entire culture is, it looks like a Playboy magazine at bare minimum and a hardcore porn film more often than not.
ObscenityCrimes.org is the website Morality and Media has set up. If you've got something you need to report concerning obscenities on the internet, that's ObscenityCrimes.org. Okay, Morality and Media means to curb traffic in illegal obscenity and to uphold standards of decency in the mainstream media. We've been talking with its president, Dr. Robert Peters. Do you have any other comments in closing, Dr. Peters?
It's my philosophical perspective that law enforcement is a part of this pornography problem. And I honestly believe there won't be any solution to the pornography problem without law enforcement. And we can have law enforcement consistent with our First Amendment. But I also point out that pornography is also very much a spiritual problem. And at some point, God help us, the churches need to step up and address this as a spiritual problem, both within the four walls of the church and in their communities. And when we have law enforcement combined with a church that's facing up to this problem, and hopefully that'll spill over into the schools, I think we will start making some real significant progress against this flood of hardcore pornography that is literally burying our culture and corrupting our children.
Thank you, Dr. Peters.
Oh, thank you very much.
Stay tuned for more of Cry Justice coming up next.
This program has been produced and is supported by the Here's Help Radio Network. If you've enjoyed this program and would like to send a tax-deductible gift to keep it on this radio station, please send it to the Here's Help Radio Network, P.O. Box 473, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166. Do it today, and why not write a little note giving us your comments about this program? I've asked Steve Hinchcliffe, an engineer for the past 24 years working in electronics. He has his own computer company called MLC.net. Some questions about how can you protect your kids from porn on the internet. And here are his suggestions.
Well, the first thing I would tell you, Judy, is that I don't think it's enough of an issue just to say what should we do to keep our children safe. The truth of the matter is we find that there's a lot of people who are offended and find the rampant amount of porn available on the internet to be a real problem. With respect to your kids, it's not a real difficult thing to put some software called filtering software onto your computer. The ones that jump immediately to mind are CyberSitter, and that's CyberSitter, WeBlocker, which is WeBlocker, and NetNanny, NetNanny. Now, all of these are software products that you have to purchase. They run about $30, and you can purchase them on the web. And they do a pretty good job of filtering content that you may find offensive. Some do a better job than others. And all of them work on the premise that you enter a certain set of criteria of things that you don't want to be available, and if it catches this content, it won't display it. However, therein lies the rub. It is an inexact science. Some of it will get through, and some people find that that there's real problems because these programs can be too aggressive and keep the children from going places where you really want them to go.
For instance?
As an example, Microsoft includes with Internet Explorer the ability to filter content based on various criteria, and that part of the program is called Content Advisor. What you will find, unfortunately, is that in many cases, some of these programs require the actual operator of the website to allow their site to be rated, which means that, well, the assumption is that if you aren't rated, then we won't show it to you. All of things being equal. So that means that, say, a site like something innocuous like Nickelodeon.com, I believe that's Nick.com, children can't go to that page because they don't bother to have themselves rated. A lot of search engines won't work because as you're looking for results, obviously you can't control the fact that some search results may contain words that are offensive, and so the whole page doesn't display, so your search doesn't work. So it's a very inexact science. There is no silver bullet that will take care of the problem for you. One of the things that I strongly advise is that basically put your children shouldn't be on the computer by themselves. They require your supervision. You should know where they're going. You should know what they're doing. And really shouldn't count on any software to do your job as a parent.
Is there a way of knowing the history of where your children have been on the computer?
There can be, but you would be amazed these days at how genuinely computer savvy kids are. And most kids, believe it or not, at least once they reach the age of 10 or greater, they know how to delete that history. So if they're going places that you don't want them to go, a lot of them, are savvy enough to know how to keep you from knowing that. And for those that aren't that savvy, they can sure pick it up at school because at least one or two of their friends will be. Again, it goes back to that point. The best way to know where your kid's going is to look over his shoulder occasionally.
Now you talk about the rating. If someone has created a website and wants to be rated so that they can be considered in that criteria, how does one get rated?
Well, the way that you have a website rated is you contact the RSAC, which is the Recreational Software Advisory Council. Their website address is www.rsac.org. You can have your site rated yourself, or your internet service provider can do that for you. Now, at MLCnet, since we don't handle websites that contain any objectionable content, we generally speaking go ahead and rate our customer sites for them at the time that we load their site onto our server. Some other hosts who are larger or maybe do not have as good a knowledge of their customers probably wouldn't take that step, and it would be up to a person to have their site rated themselves.
What about television? As we look at the plethora of television media out there via satellite or cable, there's bound to be pornography there. How can we protect our television from pornography?
Turn it off. And I don't mean that flippantly. First of all, let's deal with the term pornography for just a second. There's really two different things that you're talking about. There is pornography that features consenting adults and for which there are specific standards and safeguards in place to make sure that only consenting adults can view or participate in the viewing of that pornography. And while it may be immoral, can in many instances be legal. A much greater issue is the pornography that, it's twofold. The pornography, obviously, that does not feature consenting adults, or that pornography which you do not have an adequate opportunity to make sure that you don't see if you don't want to see it. That's really the biggest problem on the internet today is, for instance, people receiving emails called spams, which are just broadcast emails that are sent out to millions of people, but which contain objectionable content or pictures. As an example, your child opens their mailbox and they find that there's a picture of a woman and a barnyard animal. This is not atypical. And that is the most offensive form because, again, there is nothing really that you can put in place that would stop that other than, again, just making sure they didn't get any picture attachments at all. And your children, of course, aren't going to like that because they want to share pictures that are good content with each other. Same thing applies on your television and cable and so forth. Obviously, if you're watching a movie that you've gone to the local video store and rented, you have complete control over what you're going to view. The unfortunate part is that sometimes what you think you're going to see isn't what you wind up seeing. A perfect example would be just last week as I watched a football game with my children. The Fox Network has a program called Fast Lane, and it's a shoot 'em up, cops and robbers kind of show with a new millennium edge. But the key to this is that the commercial, this particular episode, was that they're going to bust a woman who's in a lesbian bar. And they featured, for a full 60 seconds, all kinds of shots of the women dancing. And then the end of the commercial and the tagline, as it showed two women about to kiss, the tagline was, "The kiss you won't want to miss." Now, I think a lot of people would find that objectionable, especially inserted into the middle of a football game. The truth of the matter is, Judy, I don't know what you do about that, other than if you find that offensive, to complain.
So I'm looking at buying cable or satellite, because I just have the old regular television. What are some things that I need to look for?
There is certainly the V-chip, and you can block certain channels from your television. In other words, you can set up a password where your children have to know a password to get to certain channels, or whether they're blocked from it completely or during certain times. Also, a TV can certainly, via that technology, can check the rating of a show and block the viewing of that show based on the rating that's transmitted. And those are good steps forward, as I say. However, neither of those steps would have prevented my children from seeing that commercial in a Sunday afternoon football broadcast.
What's that called, the V-chip?
It's called a V-chip, and just about any TV made in the last couple of years is going to feature that, except for the most inexpensive little tabletop sets. One of the biggest things that you have to do is be aware of what's on, what's out there, and what's, the general programming nature. If you order cable and you order Cinemax, which many people actually call Skinemax, you can expect that you're going to get some, content that's not going to be appropriate for your kids. Again, you have to determine what it is exactly you're dealing with. Are you saying, well, I'm going to order these channels because I think it's okay if I watch it? but I just don't want my kids to watch it. Well, then the only alternative you're going to have is either to program a TV with a V-chip or to take, you know, the ultimate parental step, which nobody seems to want to do these days, and that's just say, no, we're not turning the TV on right now. Go read a book.
So in closing, Mr. Hinchcliffe, what advice do you have?
When you do an interview of this nature, everyone's looking for that magic bullet, that something that gets them off the hook for being responsible for what their kids are doing. I don't want to watch over my kid's shoulder while he's on the computer. I don't want to have to watch over my daughter's shoulder while she watches TV. I want to be absolved of that responsibility, and I want you to build me a box or a program or something that will absolve me from that duty. Well, I've been an engineer for 24 years, and I can tell you no one will ever be able to build that box or that software program. You still have to be a parent. You still have to know what your kids are doing, know what they're watching, know where they're going on the web, look at their email. You have to be a parent. And Judy, I would also tell you to have your listeners, if this is an issue to them, give us a call, MLC. Give us a call, MLCnet. You can find us on the web, www.mlc.net. We operate a forthright business. We do not handle pornography. Again, we cannot necessarily filter everything for you, and anyone who tells you that they can is being less than honest with you. But they can at least take comfort in the fact that they are doing business with an internet provider that is not contributing to the problem.
That's www.mlc.net. Give them a holler on the internet, or do you want to give them a phone number?
Sure, it's area code 314-644-6333.
Great internet provider. In fact, that's our provider at the Here's Help Radio Network.
Today we've been looking at the growing problem of pornography, not only on the internet, but on television, satellite, cable television. The bottom line, both of these men have said it's important to be involved with your family. Find out what they're watching, what they're getting into on the internet, and take charge. Those addresses again are obscenitycrimes.org and Dr. Robert Peters. He's with Morality and Media. If you wanted to report internet pornography, if you want to learn more about those programs that Steve Hinchcliffe talked about, you didn't get the names, you can contact him at mlc.net. That's Steve at mlc.net. And if you're looking for a good internet provider where the pornography stuff is filtered out and they're an accredited website, you might contact them. They got great rates. That's mlc.net. Email is steve@mlc.net. And tell them, of course, that you tuned it in on Cry Justice. Well, I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks again for coming along on this edition of Cry Justice. We really appreciate you bringing us into your home or your car. Hope you tell a friend about Cry Justice, and it's on every week at this same time on this same station. In fact, if you'd like a list of the Here's Help Network stations in other cities, you can get it from our website at www.hereshelpnet.org. That's www.hereshelpnet.org.